Welcome to the Health Coach Nation podcast. My name is Haley Rowe, and I'm a sales and marketing coach and LinkedIn lead generation service provider. I work with health, life, and mindset coaches and online service-based business owners to help them get more sales, shift their time to the client-generating activities instead of just the busy work, and overcome that social media overwhelm. Let's get into the show. If you're ready to take on your next paying clients, I have good news. My free 4 Basics of Client Attraction and How to Stand Out class is live at haleyrowe.com/client-attraction. In the class, you're going to learn the top 2 traits I recommend for most coaches and entrepreneurs if they really want to turn this into a career. You're going to learn how you can build demand for your services and stop getting crickets on your posts. You're going to learn the sales roadmap I used to improve my sales conversion rate and help my clients do the same. And you're going to learn so much more. So go to haleyrowe.com/client-attraction and get your copy of the class today.
I want to first have you introduce yourself, because a lot of the people listening are aspiring health and wellness coaches, or they're already health and wellness coaches with clients, but maybe they want to make a bigger impact. Maybe they want to do more stuff. And I know that you're doing awesome things where you are. So just kind of share a little bit about yourself and what you do as a trainer.
Yeah, I think these days, if you go on the internet, there's just an overwhelming amount of fitness information. So as a fitness company, our company, we help both individuals and companies achieve better health and performance by breaking down these information for them so that no one has to waste time doing things that ultimately hinders the performance, but actually implement practices and have a training plan that help them thrive. And so we do that through personal training. We do that through group classes. These days I've been focusing a lot on corporate health workshops/classes. Just about everything that we do.
So tell me a little bit about how you got started and how you started to get those first clients when you were just beginning and in the beginning of your journey.
Yeah. In the beginning of my journey, I became a trainer because I almost played professional soccer here in Hong Kong. And essentially what happened was I went on a trial with a local professional team. And it was one day during agility practice that the fitness coach pulled me aside. And he was like, you know, Andy, when other athletes move, they move in an efficient manner, right? They hop from side to side gracefully and fluently. When you move, you had your arms out to the side, you know, you were so bulky and it took you forever to turn. And that planted a seed in me because I knew that what I was doing inside the gym did not translate to what I do outside the gym. And what that turned into was a good marketing tagline, and then also a strong conviction that, you know, I had to do something inside the gym that actually translate to things on the field. And so, you know, with that, I've just been telling everyone, okay, guys, we got to do stuff inside the gym that gets you better outside. And that just worked out for me. And it created buy-in right away. And so if I look back, I would say you have to start off with kind of a central message, central theme. And that way you can tell people with passion and conviction that what you're doing will actually change the world.
I love that. So that kind of was where your message was born. And so then you decided, all right, I want to be a trainer. And so where did you get your start? Did you start working at a gym first, or where did you start?
No, I think right off the bat, I just started off as a freelancer, and it was definitely a bit of a challenge just because of, I have this conversation with people all the time now, because I think a lot of people like to do their own things and being a freelancer, there's just so much to do that comes with it, because ultimately, you know, you're in charge of growing your own business and getting your own clients. But I did start off as a freelancer, and I would say the first year or two was definitely tough.
What was tough for you about it?
I think that the the hardest part was to get clients, just because if you work at more of a commercial gym, there are clients out there. I mean, there you run into a different problem, because then you're competing with 20 other guys who's just as aggressive as you are, and it might become more of a sales thing rather than a training thing. But I'll say I'm a purist, and I do want to help others, and I don't want to sell. right? I would say 5 years ago. Now my understanding of that is a bit different, so we'll go into that later. But, you know, just 7, 8 years ago when I first started, I didn't want to be that pushy guy who's getting people to do business with me. So I'll say that was quite tough because I was reluctant to put myself out there, afraid that people would think that I'm hard selling them. But what I've learned over the years, obviously, is when you have a message that actually works, I'm helping others rather than selling them. Because if I'm selling them, I'm selling them something.
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good shift you had, because I was just talking actually with somebody about this today. They were like, oh, you know, I don't want to be quote unquote pushy. I'm not a big fan of sales. I've never done sales. We all have had bad experiences probably with salespeople. And so then we think that that's how it has to be. But really, it's when somebody wants a solve for something and you have something that can help them get there, and you know that they're going to be, you know, learning things and being able to do things that they probably wouldn't be able to do or would have a lot of pain figuring out on their own, or a lot of extra time in the process figuring it out on their own. It's a service, as you said, to offer them help with that. And of course, you're never pushing someone into something unless you're literally like taking them to the gym with you, shoving them in your car to work out, right?
Exactly. Gym with me.
And understanding that person's empowered to make their own decisions, and you are just there to help them see what decision is right for them and, you know, show the benefits of what your option looks like. That can be a different way to see sales. And I think the other thing you said was you didn't want, you had a lot of maybe competitors. And so one question I have for you is, how did you start to, you know, put yourself out there, and how did you start to differentiate yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question, Haley. I think I'll answer the differentiating part first, because I think that's more important as anyone who's going into not only fitness, but every other industry that they're in. I once read this book called Range by David Epstein. And so essentially the premise of the book is that we cannot specialize too early, because we have to have the different multiple skill sets in order to drive our business or in order to drive career forward. So in the book, he would list different types of athletes, you know, different types of situations where being a generalist, as he called it, would help. And that book opened up my mind, because these days when people go into the fitness industry and maybe other industries, people become a specialist right away, right? This is my niche, right? I do all these work to figure out my niche early. But that's kind of built on the assumption that you have an innate passion in you already. But sometimes in life, we don't really know what our passion is until we get into the water and start doing things. And so that really changed my mind, because at the time I was like, what's my niche? And until I figured out that sometimes we don't actually get to decide a niche, because you just tend to draw a certain type of clients. And that's what happened. So I just went with the flow. I started, you know, taking any type of clients if they're willing to train with me. And it's through that process that I kind of figure out my own way, which is to become a trainer that actually gets them healthier, you know, not necessarily becoming bulky, not necessarily for better performance sometimes, but just generally overall health, because that touches on different things depending on where they are in life. And so that's the differentiating part. The second part is, how did I get myself out there? I've tried different things, but ultimately I think what kind of catapulted my career forward was my published book last year. So I published a book called Dynamic Balance, and it really got me a lot of publicity and opportunities, because people start seeing me as a expert and a thought leader in my field, especially because the book I published was the first in the industry in that we try to combine Chinese medicine and fitness, or at least unpack Chinese medicine. And so whenever you have an original work like that, people do see that, wow, you do try to make a difference in the world, or, you know, I do see you try to promote a unique message. So I think those two things has really helped.
Great. Yeah. So combining Chinese medicine and fitness, that is already a unique angle, because as you like, I don't know any, I can't think of anybody all of a sudden in my head. I know.
Yeah. You know, For this book project, we had to write a proposal to different companies. And as part of the proposal, you have to look at your competitors and you have to get a rough idea of the market. And when we write the proposal, when we did the market research, there was no other book like it. And that in itself made it quite appealing to the publishers. And so, yeah, sometimes if you just do the research and if you just sit around and think about stuff, yeah. You find a lot of unique opportunities.
And I want to circle back to the niche stuff. So I'm one of those coaches who I'm not fixed on, oh my God, you need to have a very specific niche right this second. It needs to be your message forever. But I'm also not saying, oh, well, you should just say, I do everything. I do all sorts of health coaching. So I think that there's a balance between finding, you know, what kind of problems, what are examples of problems you could help people solve? And then you don't need to maybe pick one right away, because I agree with you. Sometimes you learn what you want to do when you have practice clients and test clients and you get to exposure with other people. And organically, sometimes your niche finds you, as you said. Like, I picked my niche, not because I deliberately said that's the one, but because that was who was coming to me with questions. That was who I really bonded with. That was who was in my network. That was what I knew. And naturally people were like, what are you doing with XYZ? And were asking me questions. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe this niche is, I mean, I like talking to these people, so this makes sense, right? So I think, you know, and part of what I want to do is help wellness people be able to make the world a healthy place by continuing to coach people and do their craft. So that did play a role in it, but I think it was organic. And so I think knowing that your message can evolve is very freeing, and it helps you ask yourself, what can I do right now locally in my community or with the people I do know to start helping them? And then it will become a little more clear. So it's good to have like a general roadmap or a general statement you can rely on. And you can specialize it as you go or make it more specific as you go. But at the same time, you know, I think some people wait to even start because they think they need a very, you know, like they let that niche drama just cause them to wait for 6 months before even doing anything. So one question I want to ask you about that is, okay, so you started to put yourself out there. Now, how did you get your first client? Was it somebody you knew personally? Was it a friend of a friend? Like, tell me that process for you.
Wow, what a great question, Haley. What a great question. My first client was a friend of my my girlfriend at the time, my wife now. So it was a colleague of her from work. And I still remember, because I was a freelancer, right? So I wasn't attached to a gym. And she was like, oh, where do you host your services or what do you teach? And I was like, oh, we could do anywhere. So ended up, we taught at a local park right next to her office. And then that day we just brought out some bands, some straps, and then I print out a sheet of paper, because when you first, so here's an important lesson for anyone who's first getting started, right? In the first session in that you conduct, you have no idea what's going to happen, right? So it's better to plan ahead. And that day I planned my sessions ahead according to the template that I had learned from my personal training certification to make sure that I try to eliminate or minimize uncertainties. And so I went out and we delivered a session in the park. I was super self-conscious as there were 20, 30 people just walking past as Hong Kong is quite a busy city. But yeah, it was from a wife of my friends. And then from then, clients just kept coming.
Cool.
Just kept coming.
Yeah. And so when you started to expand, did you do any form of marketing? Did you have just word of mouth? What's kind of been your approach with all that?
My approach is, there are different approaches. The main one that is career changing was definitely after reading the book, Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. I think that I'm going to change the way I looked at things, and also start with Why by Simon Sinek, because then both of them talks a lot about storing emotions, right? Because sometimes it's not the rational mind that helps us make a decision, but the emotional, which means that we have to get better at presenting our own personal journey. And that really helped a lot, because you know, a lot of times I go onto my competitor's website and it'd be like, oh, we train with 30 corporations, or I train these celebrities, I train these important clients. Now I don't talk about those until maybe four steps for the maybe later on in the journey when I have to establish that credibility. Because at first it was all about how we get started on a journey, how we can help the main character, the protagonist, which is the client, not ourselves. So in a way, marketing then becomes all about the people that we're trying to serve, but less so about us, because we're just kind of that guide. And that really changed everything, because then from my website, I'm in the process of having a new website as well, as have more people on my team now. So on my website, in the way I present things, in the networking events that I go to, kind of my elevator pitch, everything centers around my journey, my story. And I found that really, really helps in terms of...
Yeah, so you go to networking groups and, you know, you're obviously on social media here. You have your book now. And then you mentioned corporate wellness too. So tell me a little more about how did you get into that?
Yeah, corporate wellness, I got into it by accident, because sometimes I think 5 years ago, so I was already doing a lot of education and public speaking, because I'll be invited to different fitness events. And one day I was invited by a local bank to do a corporate event for them. And so I was quite excited, because I was doing an event for one of the biggest banks in Hong Kong. And so I showed up to the event. It was in the cafeteria. They installed a TRX, or a suspension trainer, just right off the ceiling. And it was about a 200 people office, so it was massive. And they did it at the pantry, where there was the coffee machine and little coffee tables, right? So they installed a TRX suspension trainer. And then I thought I was going to be delivering to a group of executives, or at least bankers. But what ended up happening, it was like a market, right? So they had the TRX there and they gave me a mic, and everyone was roaming around because it was lunchtime. And they're like, okay, just give your speech. And so I in that instance, I was like that guy who's selling some random stuff literally at a booth at a supermarket that's trying to get everyone's attention. But that's my first gig at a local bank. But what's good about that gig was it's a confidence booster, because nobody was listening, so I could say whatever I wanted. But more importantly, I could have that bank on my CV and my resume and my portfolio, right? Because nobody knows what's going to happen in that experience. And so from that onwards, I just tell the people that I do corporate stuff, and then clients kept coming. And
Yeah, that's awesome. Congrats. And it all starts with that one thing. And usually our first thing of anything isn't very good. And then we learn from that. And you have to kind of embrace that suck the first time around, right? But yeah, that's super cool. And one thing too, with the book. So you had your team, I think, connected with me, and they mentioned your celebrity trainer. So on that journey, my question is about that. Did that just come from word of mouth too, or was that, how did that happen?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a celebrity trainer, but I do train with quite high level executives. And so, yeah, so there's a difference. But that came about also just by chance. Well, I would say this humbly, but I do quite have a good network, and people do treat me very nice. And so 2 years ago, one of my friends, who's an Australian, he decided to leave Hong Kong for good to go back to Australia. And so he decided to sell me his business. And within his business was a client pool of a lot of executives at well-known companies in Hong Kong. And so I just purchased the company from him, and then I started running his business. And then now I'm growing the business. And so, you know, I really have to thank David, who sold me his business and who gave me a pool of clients to work with.
So you just are like multi-passionate, multi-talented, running a business, training people. It's I got to give you credit for that. That's a lot, but that's awesome. And that's really cool that it's kind of in the same, you know, niche that you train.
I have to add, and that is 5 years ago, I promised myself that I have to take a long view in things, because, you know, I think now we live in the world where we do want instant gratification, And no offense to everyone, but the point of a coach is to help them accelerate that journey sometimes, right? But even then, you can only go so fast because you have to spend time in building the foundation, laying the foundation so that you can be aggressive later on. And so that mindset also changed things because mm-hmm. then I realized I don't have to rush it, right? There were 2, 3, 4 years in my life where I was just grinding out sessions, you know, 7, 8 hours a day. You know, I would start around now, I'll work during lunch and I work till 9, 10 p.m. at night. And it's those days that I realized, okay, so I'm just working on a fundamental skill and that's coaching, right? So when I develop that skill, I can become a businessman in selling my coaching, selling my services. But that has to be built on the fact that I'm good at what I do. And so if I could give anyone an advice, because they look at me now and they're like, okay, yeah, so you're running a business, you have 7 people on your team, you started from zero, you know, you're a freelancer, you have a book, you do corporate stuff, you do so much stuff. And that's a result of me working hard early on. And then I met someone who appreciated my skill set and the fact that I'm genuine and sincere, because I'm not trying to scam anyone out there, right? And so all that to say, please take a long view, and I promise, you know, your career will
totally
go a lot better.
Totally agree. Nobody sees the behind the scenes or the early days or the grind that you put in. Like, I can think of, you know, a lot of people, I got my first coaching certification in 2010. And then I had, you know, some gap years in there where I was majoring in entrepreneurship and getting my bachelor's degree and kind of coaching on the side, and then put it on pause when I was working at the startups, and then I got back into it. And so it was like, there's a series of many years where I was refining my skills, figuring out what I wanted to do, et cetera. And I started officially my podcast and my community, I think around like 2018, but I started becoming an entrepreneur again in 2017, kind of officially. But there's so much struggle, so much learning, so many mistakes, so many no's, so many bad team members that I've hired, so many website revamps, like, that nobody sees. And that's part of why I try to make it easier for my clients to say, like, hey, don't do this, or here's learn. But at the same time, everybody has their own journey. And when I just had, and then the reason why I think you're here today with us is you were just decisive that this is what you wanted to do and you're going to figure it out. And it's fine if it, depending on the timeline, you're in it anyways. So you're in the process. You decided no matter how long it takes, this is what you want to do. And here you are today. Would you say that's true for you?
For sure. I, you know, it's easy to say in hindsight that I knew I was going to be successful. But I was for sure hoping that the opportunity would come one day. And I had a lot of conviction in doing what I do, because I believed that I was on the right track. And so with that said, I like how you said earlier, it's balance, because ultimately it is, right? Because sometimes it's, you know, it's a balance between going in your own way, yet being flexible enough to listen to advice from others. Because sometimes, you know, you have to have people telling you, like, for example, when you talk about website, or for a while I was doing online training, you know, I had to have friends that tell me, well, this was ugly and this is never going to get clients, because sometimes it's those harsh feedback that you realize, okay, maybe there's a room for improvement. And so ultimately it does come back to, okay, my own vision versus others' feedback, and let's align that way.
Awesome. Well, Andy, is there any other final words of wisdom or tips you want to give our audience who are wanting to be in your shoes one day and be able to speak and do all the things?
Yep. One last thing. If you want to be a successful businessman, please be responsible. And sometimes a clear communication it's a must, because I've worked with so many people now, or potential teammates, that they're just terrible at communicating. And sometimes communicating just means being black and white. You know, I can make it, I cannot make it, I'm interested, I'm not interested, right? It's, oh, I'll get back to you later. It's these sort of stuff that will get
really
you nowhere in life.
Communication. People can't read your mind, as I said.
Okay. All exactly. Right, how can people exactly. connect with you? Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at TeachYouAndy. I have a new website coming up, I think by the time, in a few days it should be up. So it's called Human Performance humanperformance.hk or somewhere along the lines. It's called Human Performance. So if you just search Human Performance Hong Kong, it should come up next week or so. And they can find more about the work that I do as we elaborate on the journey and on the clients that we've helped.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. And if it's really helpful for you, I'd really appreciate if you share it and or leave a written podcast review. This tells the podcast sites that our show is useful and it will be promoted to more people that way. Thanks again.